brother Tom had written to Reverend Mr. Robert Gooden asking him to come to the rector of St. Luke's Parish. That must have been about 1906 or something, right about in there.
Mm-hmm. What?
Your brother Tom had written to Reverend Mr. Robert Gooden asking him to come to the rector of St. Luke's Parish. That must have been about 1906 or something, right about in there.
Mm-hmm. Must have been. Oh, yes, he was the senior warden, and that was his son. So that, I was too young to really appreciate the fact that Bishop Gooden was the person he was, but of course the family thought very highly of him. Of course, the thing I remember before Bishop Gooden, before Robert Gooden was the rector, was that I know his name as well as anything, that man on the horse.
Oh, Parker?
No.
Jacob.
We used to go to his place for Sunday school, a picnic.
To his home?
Yeah, to his home. And the thing I remember about it was that the one thing I do remember about it is that he would lie down on the grass, and we little kids, this was when we were little, would try to roll him over. And he said, as soon as you can roll me over, we'll have refreshments. Well, he would resist our rolling him over until his sign from the kitchen said the refreshments are ready. Then he let us roll him over. And that's funny, you know. It's stupid, the things that you remember about that. And I remember when we had picnics, church picnics, and get a boat in Long Beach and go over to San Pedro. Mm-hmm. And I'd be seasick all the way over and then be starved. And then I'd be seasick all the way back and be starved. Oh, dear. And then again, that's the one thing I remember about it. Nothing I remember about the pike was that they had a double whirl. They would go this way and go around that way towards the ocean, and I was seasick. And nobody knew I was seasick because I would always wait until I got to the ocean. Oh, dear.
When you were in college high school, I read in one of Walter Chase's history at Long Beach, one of his early chapters, which probably was written by your sister Jenny.
It was. The early chapters were.
She said that there was a museum at the high school. And I wonder if you know anything about a museum and if it still exists.
I don't know whether it still exists, but I know that there were cases in which there was thing, but, you know, as a kid in school, I didn't pay any attention to it. And when I came back as a teacher, I don't remember it being there.
So maybe it vanished somewhere in between. As historians, we'd love to see anything like that if mm-hmm. it was around. What was Polly like when the earthquake hit? What were you doing when the earthquake hit?
Well, I was living out on Zimino, and of course the earthquake was, fortunately, Park Gotham and a teacher, I don't remember the teacher, were in there putting things in boxes, announcing something.
At
Polly High. And they came out, and of course if they'd come out 10 minutes later, that dome would have crushed them down. It just went down in the entranceway. And the thing that interested me about that, when we were going to go, of course, I didn't want to leave Long Beach. I thought, you know, something going on all the time. But we were raising a child, and she was so little. And so we went away for a while. Until then, they were going to open the schools again. And we had didn't allow the women in the buildings, but they allowed the man to go in and get our stuff out. And then we taught on the football field, set up stakes. And then eventually got benches and tables, and then finally built the, you know, but when the man went into my room to get my stuff, I had bought and, you know, just one of these little turn the page daily, and it was there, March 10th, Friday, March 10th. And at the bottom of the, there will be a great calamity before you say, the man said, why didn't you give us warning? But that was quite an experience to teach out in the open air that way, and then in the tent, and then finally the building again. And I remember one time when we were out on the tent, there was a man who was teaching history, American history, and the kids were all sitting on the grass, and he walked in and he said, I'm the President of the United States. And they thought, oh dear, he's really gotten to it. He's really gone clear out, you know. He said again, I'm the President of the United States. And they really were worried. And then finally he said, you're supposed to stand up in the presence of the United States. He was just trying to get their reaction to what they should do if they were, but that was, you know, there are a lot of interesting people in the faculty at Poly High, and it was a very interesting experience.
What did your friend Miss Hess teach?
She taught history, and then she went out to City College.
Oh, I see.
And it was interesting. There was one pupil that I had in my senior class at Poly that I thought I just hadn't reached him, you know. I would say you're supposed to have a relationship with your parents as person to person. You know, you're old enough now that you should be able to talk person to person with your parents. You don't know my parents. Well, you know, I just thought, well, he's resisting. He's not getting anything that I've taught. And then he went out to City College the next September, and he had a class with Miss Hess, and she came home to tell me that he said the one person he learned the most from is Polly Hoffman. Well, the thing of it was, in the summer, it had finally soaked into him. He had enough time with his parents,
yes.
And without subject matter, you know, without his studies, he was having to study or anything, he realized that, you know, you could talk to him. But I thought, wow, yeah, I thought I hadn't even reached him, and he says he got the most from me.
He must really like teenagers. He must have related to them very well.
Well, I sponsored a legal sorority at Poly,
uh-huh.
And yes, I've always liked kids, and you know, I've always tried to meet them where they are. I remember there was one girl, I don't know how she happened to tell me she was a Christian Scientist, but she had told me that, and she was an A student, but give her a big test and she'd never make higher than a B.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to one day, I said, you know, you're not a very good Christian Scientist because you let yourself go thrown for a loop when it comes to a test. Now, you should be able to function properly. After the next big test, she came in and she said it worked. And sure enough, she did get an A. So, and I don't know, I've always felt that if you really try to get what they're thinking, that, you know, I remember one girl told me, she said, you know, your class, some of us, as good as the Sunday school class, you know, because, you know, after all, how you get along with people and kind of a person you are is about the most important thing in the world. Otherwise, anything else is just so much routine, but so
When did you retire? What year was that?
Well, it was when I was 60 years old, because Violet Hess had to retire because she was 65. And I thought, well, I am not going to go to work every morning and having her lying around home. And so I retired early. And 5 years later, when I would have had to retire, the teachers who had just retired had their pictures in the Press Telegram, and I looked at them and I thought, yeah, it's a good thing I retired when I did. Because, but of course you recover after you retire, you kind of snap back. But we were raising a girl, and so I had plenty to do, and then I, of course, I got interested in the church work, so.
You've done a lot of traveling, too, I know that.
Yes. In 1970, Evelyn Laughlin, no, it wasn't, not 70. We went to the Oberammergau in 70. That wasn't the first trip, but she was a graduate of Stanford and was taking the Stanford trips, and she said to the head of the Stanford trips, I noticed that there are men whose wives are not Stanford graduates and wives whose husbands, women whose husbands are not Stanford graduates. Should an unmarried woman be penalized, or may I bring a friend? He said, if your friend will join the Stanford Alumni Association, fine. So I thought, here, a graduate of Cal joins the Stanford Alumni Association. But I had some wonderful trips.
Yes.
We went down the Danube at that and back on that trip, and the Greek islands, and to the Black Sea, and to the Nile, and Yugoslavia. So it's been very wonderful. And then the last year that I traveled, the Nalpiers, with whom I'd gone to Egypt and Yugoslavia, said, they knew we had gone and planned to go to the Holy Land, and the war had kept us, canceled the trip. Said, would you, our minister is going to, on his 8th trip to the Holy Land, would you like to go along? And I said, oh, that'd be wonderful. So they introduced me to, so I went to the Holy Land with him. And then the woman with whom I was renting while I was waiting to get in here, her brother-in-law and sister said, come with us to Hawaii. We'll put a cot in our room. And I said to Anna, how about me going along and having a room to ourselves? And she said, that would be wonderful. So I thought, well, if I'm going to Hawaii, the sooner you go, the better, because it's getting more commercial. And then, after I'd signed up for that, the Melchior said, we're going to Spain. Wouldn't you like to go along? Well, when I taught Spanish, I thought one thing that I would be sure to do would be to go to Spain, but nobody wanted to go to Spain, so that year I went to the Holy Land, to the Spain, and to Hawaii. So that was my grand finale of travel. Since then, I've moved here, and that's that.